Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LaPage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Zalbin.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Yeah. Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth man.
Booth man.
Look, very surprised. This is a new thing that we call on him.
Well, yeah.
At the top of the show. Sorry to surprise you, booth man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that's good. People could definitely...
I'm on a podcast. The classic podcast.
So how are you guys doing? How's it going? How was your comic book week?
Oh, it was great. Just living in it, reading all the books, living the dream. Sleeping on a big stack of comic books like usual.
Yeah, I almost slept on a big stack of comic books. I don't know about you guys, but I have a pile of graphic novels. The graphic novels that I'm like... They're really good. I'm going to get to them at some point. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it's almost falling on my head while I'm asleep. I actually started to go through it.
Great.
Wow.
Like, Is that a good story?
I have no joke. I have 10 stacks of comic books, pamphlet comics, up to my navel, covered in covered in the clothing because I have to use the space.
Oh, my God.
So that's where I lay out. That's where I lay out the clothes I'm going to wear.
You're
for
like
the
a
day.
Hoarder.
Yeah, I'm turning into a monster.
Do you dress them up into like different things?
Yeah, they're my babies. And I kiss them and put them to sleep.
Yeah. Is that, do you go with them to R-rated movies so you can get it?
I sneak them in.
Yeah.
I hustle them in because I want them to be exposed to the world. And a year from now, when I try to sell my comics, they're going to be like, oh, these are kiss damaged all over the cover, and I won't be able to turn them in. That's what near mint
or
is.
Maybe
that's what near mint is, kiss damage.
Maybe kiss because damage. You'll be so famous, they'll be worth more.
I don't think that's how it works. You think like Ben Affleck's like furniture is worth more than your furniture?
Sure.
I mean, it is because his is nicer
Touché.
Furniture.
Touché. Sir.
Right, and Pete lives in a box.
Yeah.
Yep. I do.
Hey,
we should get
like
the
it.
Show started.
Absolutely not.
Oh, you don't like turning
it down? We got to keep talking about this. Guys,
slovenly ways.
I hope you guys like Josh's, because we have a lot of Josh's on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, one of them is the writer of Hunger and Ultimates for Marvel Comics. The other is the writer of Ghosted for Image. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Fialkov at Josh Williamson.
Yeah!
Welcome to the show, guys.
Yes.
Welcome to the show. Have a seat. Thank
Hello.
You for coming. Thank you for coming.
Yeah,
welcome, way to
welcome.
Bring a couple
on down,
babs.
Please.
One Josh
sit down. Stop
is double
so
fisting.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Name that Josh.
Now, you guys are famous comic book writers. Is your furniture worth more than regular people's?
No. Mine is falling apart.
I have a nice couch. I have a couch we got. It's,
yeah.
But we have a dog, so no.
Dog's sorry.
Ruined everything.
What about the dog? Is the dog
the
worth
dog is worth more.
Very he's valuable.
This is going to get sappy. He's a fire rescue. He was abandoned in a fire.
Abandoned in a fire?
In a fire.
That's not abandoned. That's murder.
Yeah,
that person tried to murder that dog.
So we saved him. He's a very special dog.
Wow.
The other Josh's dog is not special.
Lame.
What are you talking about? Cordelia is awesome.
Cordelia?
Cordelia.
What a dandy name.
She's about, you can't tell people on the internet, but she's about this big.
She's here right now, as you may be asking.
I wish.
You could have said a length. That probably
would have. Oh, just to specify for people listening at home.
She is arm length.
Yeah, he just stretched his arms 3 miles wide.
Yeah,
and huge.
It was weird.
She's a little princess.
What natural disaster was your dog rescued from?
Me. No, she's fine. She was. I bought her as a puppy, just from like breeders. Nothing courageous.
A puppy.
So just to recap, Josh Williamson is a monster.
Yeah. Good. He owns a puppy mill.
Hey, speaking of monsters, you know who else is a monster? Galactus in the Marvel Universe.
He is. He's very hungry.
Yes, he is very hungry. So,
Does that make him a monster? Don't we all get hungry?
Well, technically, he's a force of nature,
sure.
Which is frequently how one would describe, like a giant monster would be considered. Yeah. So, I think it's fair.
I've been wanting to ask you this for so long.
Just calm down. Take a deep breath.
I've never met this many.
What's going on in the Ultimate Universe?
We're putting Galactus back in short shorts.
Yeah.
About time.
Bare legs.
It's
the way,
summer
the
in
way
space.
God and Jack Kirby. No. We're spinning out of the Age of Ultron crossover. And I'm writing Hunger, which is in between... Sounds so funny saying it out loud. So it's I'm writing Hunger, which takes place in between Age of Ultron and our big fall event, which is Cataclysm. which is all the books. Brian Bendis is writing the main book, and he's writing Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man Cataclysm, and then I'm writing Ultimates, and Ultimate X-Men Cataclysm. I've heard that the Ultimate Universe is ending, which is terrifying for me because I have a mortgage and bills and a car and a dog, this fire rescue dog. I mean, you can't just walk away from that.
You have an ultimate mortgage.
Is this the end of the Ultimate Universe?
I mean, you're going to have to wait and find out.
No, tell us now.
Maybe.
All right.
Oh, good. That's pretty strong.
I guess it depends on how much you guys read.
Oh boy!
The three of you specifically, actually.
Wow, we're like a Nielsen family.
We did a survey. We're doing it's sort of a straw poll.
Well, what if I read it, Justin doesn't read it, and then Pete reads it halfway through and falls asleep?
But do they buy it?
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, we don't buy
a comp. If you're getting a comp, then it's just you're not doing anything for anybody.
No help at all.
So Galactus has teamed up with Galactus.
That's not a complicated sentence at all. It's a really very, very, very clear.
Well, there's
sentence.
The Galactus of the Ultimate Universe and the Galactus of the
Galactus. What we ended up doing to save my craziness is the Galactus Swarm.
Okay.
So Warren Ellis created in the Ultimate Galactus trilogy, which is awesome. He created the Ultimate version, which is a swarm of hyper intelligent, extremely hungry robots that find planets and destroy them. And when when Galactus crossed over into the Ultimate Universe, of course, they went looking for the biggest power source they could find, which was him. And instead, they all merged together for Super Lactus, is what I like to call him.
Ooh. That dude's
How involved were you with the redesign of Galactus?
We were there, like we talked. We talked about it, and it's kind of one of the best parts about comics, especially working on mainstream stuff, is you get to be involved in, in changing and developing these iconic characters and making them, I don't know if you can really improve on a Jack Kirby design, but, certainly making it more modern and more contemporary. And, more short shorty. Like, it's really about the short shorts for me.
Only frontier left is hot pants.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to come out here and say that I'm in comics for the tiny pants.
Yeah. Bold stance. All right. Bold. We often hear that.
You know, there's a lot of people, there's been a lot of controversy regarding DC Comics over the past few years. And what it really comes down to for me is when you take away Superman's tiny pants... You're just un-American.
Yeah, see, and they're going in the wrong direction. They're going more pants, longer pants, baggier pants, more pockets. No, we want everyone
wants
it down.
You want definition of the true, the American way right there.
We'll
so to
all
speak.
Be wearing Speedos in 5 years. Yeah.
I'm wearing one right now underneath my clothes. I was hoping we'd get there.
We're
going to
hit
later,
the pool. We're going to hit the. We do have a comic book club pool.
I do have two beers to finish before we get there. So.
Certainly. Nice. Dive in.
Let's talk about the difference between writing characters in the Ultimate Universe versus the main Marvel Universe. Is there any difference? I mean, is there any... When you're bringing a character like Galactus in, I realize that he's very big and bold and world-destroying, but is there a different way you approach him versus the Ultimate Universe characters?
Writing Galactus is incredibly difficult. Like, it's... it's that thing where you're always like, oh, this is going to be so much fun, and then you realize that he's a gigantic, ancient purple man.
he doesn't do a lot of stuff.
What's he gonna do?
Gigantic ancient purple man with needs.
That's true. Well, you write. It's funny because you write like him having a conversation, and then it's like, why is he talking to anybody?
Yeah,
like he's probably fine.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I called Bendis while I was working on. I called Brian Bendis, and I'm like, I just don't know how you have a conversation. And Brian's response was, well, you don't. You just ignore it. Like they're flies. The fun part, the difference between the two universes is with the Ultimates, we get to do super, super crazy stuff that, can have lasting permanent change in the universe in a way that you don't get to do in the 616. Like, in the main Marvel universe, you're kind of more tied to the illusion of change rather than actual change, whereas in the Ultimate Universe, you can make, huge changes to big, big characters.
That must be really exciting.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's getting to even a character like Reed Richards, and you look at how different he is between the two universes. And for me, it's been fun because it's sort of about what I tried to do in my Ultimates run was to try and justify the unjustifiable. Like, he's done so much terrible stuff, but it becomes about a real person you know, a real person is not going to just do terrible things just to do them. Like, there has to be a motivation behind it. And trying to find ways, and you know, to bring it kind of in line with the Ultimate Universe's ethos, which is, like, let's make things as realistic as, again, a story featuring a gigantic purple man can be.
How much, you know, this is a kind of a dumb pun when you're talking about Reed Richards, but how much can you stretch a character like that?
Shut up. That is ridiculous.
You all get out of here.
Yeah. Don't make me.
Well, how much can you change a character like that and still keep his core? What makes him still Reed Richards?
What motivates him is still the same, right? What motivates him is this desire. You know, at the core of that character is a desire for the future, is a desire to protect and build and bridge towards the future. What I look at is, and you look at, you know, foundationally what's actually different about him. And the Reed Richards in the Ultimate Universe had, you know, an abusive family, had, you know, was bullied, was not, you know, by the time he was sort of singled out, a lot of, you know, as a genius, a lot of the damage had already been done. And so it gives you a place of grounding that he doesn't have the moral turpitude of yeah, you like that?
I am a writer. Apparently, that's right. I charge for those. Those cost money.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the same, you know, quality of morality that, you know, our the main universe Reed Richards has. And that's the thing, and it becomes, you know, I think you can do almost anything with a character as long as you understand the core of the character and human behavior. You know, you can take, you know, the doofiest, most ridiculous character in the world, but if you understand what motivates them, you can make them work and make it believable, in theory.
Cool.
Once he's been molded into that shape, it's hard for him to take another shape back on.
Heyo.
Thank you.
What's coming up in Cataclysm?
Ultimate Universe ending.
Okay.
Me writing the X-Men.
Great.
That's fun. It's really funny because I don't want to talk about it because it's, you know, it comes out really soon. I think we're like 3 or 4 weeks away.
Yeah.
And what Brian is doing in the main book is so much fun. And we sort of took this attitude of all of the miniseries are, each one is like its own action movie. And they're, you know, so it's 4 action movies all happening concurrently with each other.
And they're all fighting Galactus, right? So one is taking the top, one's taking the bottom, one the left, one the right.
It's lots of them saying, like, how's it going up there? And then there's nothing.
Still purple up there?
Yeah. To find out how it's going up there, see Ultimate Comics X-Men Cataclysm.
We really made an effort to make it so you don't have to read all 4 books. You can read any of the 4 books and get, you know, a satisfying beginning, middle, and end. But if you read them all together, you're going to get an even more satisfying story.
Cool. Awesome. Josh W. Hello. Let's chat with you about Ghosted.
That's yes. Josh 2.
Josh 2.
We're normally referred to as I'm the good Josh and you're the bad Josh.
Evil.
Clearly not true. Let's talk about Ghosted, one of our favorite new books here
on the show.
So what's the, for those who haven't been reading it, and shame on you guys, what is the general idea of Ghosted?
Let me scoot in here a little bit.
It's a prank show, but with ghosts, right?
How you doing, sweetie?
Oh, wow, you guys are the cutest.
We are sharing a hotel room.
Yeah.
They did mention they were going to kiss.
It would be awesome. Wait, what?
See?
No, so Ghosted is...
Great, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, we gotta go. No, Ghosted is about a... it is Ocean's 11 in a haunted house instead of a casino. It is about a guy who is one of the world's best heist planners in the world, is broken out of prison, and given the task of stealing a ghost from a haunted house. That is the overall plot of it. But I mean, it's really about this guy named Jackson Winters and sort of his relationship with death and sort of the crazy stuff that happens around him.
Yeah.
And you invited a ghost, actual ghost, here tonight.
I think
we can all attest to that.
Yeah. He'll be here.
Cool. One of the things that I think is great about this book is... Well, the first couple of issues, at least, have a really big, shocking start and a really big splash page at the end. And I know that's sort of comic book 101, but I feel like a lot of the times it doesn't happen or you run out of space. But it seems like you're very cognizant about leaving people with a huge, full-page cliffhanger at the end of each issue.
Well, I know what I like, you know? That's really where I come around to is, like, the comics that I like to read. And I have this theory that you should want to buy your own comic. Right. And so that's a good theory.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had read that comic independently and you're like, well, this is junk. Like, I don't want to buy this. So with Ghosted, I knew what I like to read, and that's really where I came around from that. And so that's why Ghost starts and stops every issue sort of the way it does. Because I'm having fun. Like, it's the most fun I've ever had working on a book.
Wow.
So a lot of stuff I put in there is just for me, you know?
Yeah. I think it comes through in the book, though.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I put a lot of work into it, and I'm really happy. Like, it's easy.
One of the things that you do in the book is you make fun of ghost hunters a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. I think it's ridiculous. I'm kind of a funny person because, all right, we'll get some.
If he does say so himself.
We'll get some weird stuff here. So a lot of members of my family believe in ghosts.
Right.
And, like, I kind of believe in ghosts, but whenever they tell me, I roll my eyes. Like, that's not who it is. Like, when anyone tells me a ghost story, I'm immediately like, yeah, all right. All right. Yeah.
How aggressively are you saying they're like, I saw a ghost today?
Me or people
no,
I know?
No, your family.
Oh, man, I want to get into that.
No?
Get
There's
into
been some
it.
Institutionalized people in my family. Like,
oh, do it. We don't know any
I
of
saw
them.
A ghost. So, but wow. I always get like, yeah, right. All right, okay.
Best family ghost story. We'll keep it anonymous.
No,
let's
no,
call,
I'm not getting all that. That gets a little too weird.
Hold on. Yeah. Let's use code names. Let's call them Mom and Dad.
No. Yeah, a lot of people in my family totally, like, hardcore believe in ghosts, and it's their excuse for everything. Like, anytime they want to excuse, like, something they did that was stupid, it's like, well, Grandpa said it was okay because his favorite flower was this flower, and I saw that flower in the backyard. That was him sending a message saying it was okay.
Oh, man.
And it's literally a conversation I have had.
I bet you got away with everything growing up.
Sorry I'm 15 minutes late. I met a ghost.
That? This is a conversation that has taken place, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A ghost dinosaur.
Yeah, so to me,
my
that's why at the end of the first issue, she is so, there's that little twist of it, because I think it's funny when you can kind of believe in something, but because you have so many experiences around it, it makes you not want to believe it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like liking an indie band.
That's kind of what I was about too, like TV shows.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Same thing.
I'm glad you agreed with me because no one else was going to.
Nope. Yeah.
Do you watch any of the Ghost Hunter TV shows?
Yeah, I do. A little bit more. Less so now than I did a few years ago. But a few years ago, I was really into that. And I love, like, any kind of, like, found footage horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, I love all that stuff. I will, like, if I'm on Netflix, no matter how bad or one star, I'm like, I am watching this.
Yeah.
You know, have you seen Grave Encounters?
No.
Don't watch it by yourself.
All right. It's legitimately good?
Yeah, I was watching it by myself, like, 2 a.m, and I was like, this is probably a horrible movie, but it is scaring the crap out of me right now.
Oh, I love that.
Is it about a guy named Grave that encounters a bunch of different people?
No, it's a faux documentary, like ghost hunting one that like
faux means false.
Oh, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, just cool. So Pete's just keeping up, Pete.
Speaking of things I don't understand, this is me being a total idiot.
Go ahead.
What is Ghosted a joke on? The title.
The title? Oh, my God. You want to know about the title?
Yeah.
Do you really want to know?
I do, because it's been...
Because
I love this book, and I've been reading it. I'm like, is it
people in the room. I will explain. So that was not the original title. The original title was just Ghost Thief. Oh, man, this is going to sound horrible.
Ghost Thief? Okay.
It was Ghost Thief. It was me called Ghost Thief. I was pitching it as Ghost Thief. We talked about Ghost Thief. And then it went from Ghost Thief to Haunted Heist.
Ooh, the Haunted Heist.
Yeah, it was called Haunted Heist. And I was like, that sounds like an Eddie Murphy movie.
Yeah, it does.
I am not writing... An Eddie Murphy movie. And that is all the scripts up until issue 6. Issue 6 are all called Haunted Heist.
Haunted
Heist.
And
that's what they're labeled as. Yeah, all the art comes in with HH0102 or whatever, you know?
And the movie poster would say he's going to get caught dead in his tracks.
Really? Oh. Wait, I'm sorry. He's going to be caught dead-handed?
Huh? Dead-handed?
I like that one, yeah. But I would like to clarify, none of these were my idea. And then we kept trying to come up with different stuff, and I was like, I hate Haunted Heist. Like, could you imagine, you've read Ghosted.
Yeah.
It's not a nice book. I mean, it's kind of violent, and there's, like, fucked up stuff in it. So a title like Haunted Heist, I don't want to read it and be like, yeah, this is a comedy, you know? I mean, it is funny, but not in the way you think. And so we kept coming up with different titles, and I literally, like, I think it was, like, the day or two before we announced it, they were like, we're going to call it Ghosted.
This is stupid. We should call it something else.
Yeah, like that was how it was going. We could never figure out anything. And there was actually a title that I liked. I'm not going to say what it was that we were settled on up until that moment. And then we're going to call that title for some other book. But
Guys Who Steal Ghosts.
Yeah. You're very close. Surprise.
Yeah.
And then we got to that moment, and they were like, I mean, we were going into Emerald City Comic Con. We were going to announce it. And Ghosted kept coming around. We all were kind of like, and at first I hated it. Like, I was really like, that is a horrible title. What does that even mean? But we settled on it, and I'm actually really happy with it. However, so I have a thing on Twitter where you can see when people are talking about Ghosted.
Right.
So Ghosted is slang for, like, three other different things.
Yeah. Ooh,
I see the great... Yeah, man. So I see some crazy shit on Twitter. People
like
talking
what?
About using the word Ghosted a lot. Oh, man. Twitter is a horrible place.
Yeah.
It really made me feel like, wow, we really are, like, horrible humanity.
I want to know what else it's the word for.
Well, okay. So there's a couple different versions of it. The one that is the most used, the most traditional, is when you were dating somebody and then you just completely ghost them. You just completely, like, stop talking to them. You don't email, answer, anything. You just shut them down. Yeah.
Not drench them in cum.
No.
Oh,
what is wrong with you?
Jesus. No, like, we're all thinking.
Somebody closed the curtain.
Nobody was thinking that.
No one was thinking that.
Come on. Ghosted.
No. I'm going to tell you a little. That's called Santa Clausing, by the way.
Oh, that's Santa.
But, see, that's, we're just mad you got the term wrong. Like, we have no problem with you always saying scum on this show.
Oh,
yeah, no, no. So,
I'll Santa Claus you guys later.
And there's a couple other words, but it's horrible, man. Like, there is a lot of, people are horrible. Like, that is what it comes down to. And also, there's a real literacy problem in our country. Because you go on Twitter, and it is just, like, ridiculous.
He's now changing topics. He wants to talk about
it.
This
is
totally different.
But, yeah, you go on
Twitter. With the title.
So, anyway, it's horrible. But, yeah, we went up going with Ghosted and sort of, like, I think as the book's been going on, I've had that moment of, like, I want to use that as a pun occasionally. Mm-hmm. Because it does apply to stuff later on. Like, I've been working on issue 9. And issue 9, there are moments where I'm like, this would be a good time for someone to say I've been ghosted, and I have to do everything I can to not use it. In that
you
moment.
Got ghosted.
Yeah,
but I like writing it. It's a lot of fun. It is violent, and it's definitely, you know, a good mix of crime and horror. But yeah, I like it a lot.
Cool. And new issue comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, issue 4 comes out tomorrow. I'm really excited because one of the plot things we've been kind of running through the first 3 issues has been this idea that Jackson has been kind of smart of like. We're not going to go in at nighttime.
Right.
Right? Like, that's a big thing he kept pushing.
Time.
Yeah, like, we're not going to go in. Like, if everything bad happens at night, every horror movie you've ever seen is at nighttime, and Jackson kind of knows that, we're not going to go in. We're going to stay. We're going to keep on figuring things out during the day. But then something happens, and it forces him to stay.
Oh, no.
The sun goes down.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So,
I'll say, having read the issue, that is an awesome moment.
Isn't it? Yeah, I was really happy with that. That was a big buildup. What's funny is I would get reviews from people, and they'd be like, I'm really angry that they haven't stayed till sundown. And I'm like, just wait. Just give it time.
Clearly.
Just give it time. Like, we're building to it.
Issue 4, we figured it out. Yeah. The end.
Yeah, yeah. Then the sun goes down, and bad things happen. It's awesome.
That's true. Everywhere, all the time.
What a horrible night to have a curse.
Wow.
Okay, guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
All right.
Song.
In the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that we particularly like this week. Go to bat for them. Start off with Pete's pick, All New X-Men.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Wow.
Nobody the one that liked it, Pete. You seem to be making fun of it. It's not in that stack.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Pete didn't bring it.
I forgot to bring it.
Great. Was that the Stuart Immonen issue?
What's that?
Was that the Stuart Immonen issue? How do you say it?
Immonen.
That's the one with Dazzler at the beginning, right?
Immonen.
Yes. It's the one where they kind of figure out that, you know, just because someone says they're from the future doesn't mean you should necessarily trust them.
I do not believe that in my personal life.
Well, it'd be weird, right? If, like, future you came back into time and was like, hey, Justin, don't go to this place.
I'd be like... No problem.
Yeah, you would immediately listen to him, right?
Huh?
But maybe you shouldn't. Maybe it's an evil version of you, you know?
What if I'm evil already?
Well, I mean, that's true, but you would probably listen to yourself.
So you drew a life lesson from this book? Or So did you enjoy the issue? Or
I really enjoyed the issue, yeah. I think it's a fun idea of, like, kind of messing with its own format of, like, because it's ridiculous. Sometimes people come from the future or the past, and we're immediately... Everybody drops what they're doing and listens
Can
to
I interrupt for a second?
Sure, sure.
So Beast in the present has taken the original X-Men from the past, brought them to the present. X-Men from the future come back, say, you got to stop this.
You fucked this up.
This wrecks the future.
Yeah.
This issue, we find out those are kind of the bad X-Men from the future.
Well, they haven't even said that yet. They just say, like, oh, those people... are different.
Right.
They're just like those people.
Yeah, there's a bunch of X-Men for the future and a bunch of X-Men for the past and present X-Men, and eventually you're going to get one of those George Perez pages of nothing but X-Men.
Yeah, nothing
all
but X-Men.
Piled,
they're like rival fraternities who are just like, oh, don't trust those
totally.
Deep boys.
Doesn't even somebody say in this issue that there's too many X-Men and they can't keep track of all of them?
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's quite literally true.
Yeah.
But I will say, I've said this already, I like this crossover a lot. It's crazy. It feels
like a 90s
crossover. There's all, it's just like eye candy where it's like, look at that Iceman. He's bigger than the normal Iceman. Right. And then there's like the even smaller Iceman.
And there's
so
Iceman
many different
and it's
Iceman.
A
Yeah.
Wizard Iceman.
Yeah.
Wizard
Iceman. I love Gandalf Iceman. He was awesome.
Yeah.
He's great. Exactly.
I
want
to see
much.
All four of them fight. That's really what I'm looking forward to.
A bunch of Icemen?
Yeah. All four of them going at it. It'll be great.
Too totally. Much ice.
No.
It's never too much.
Yeah. Never too much
It would
ice.
Look like they got ghosted.
Okay. Oh. Cool. Oh, yeah. I think you mean Santa Claus.
Oh, Santa. Gross.
By the way, I've never heard you say Santa Claus so much.
Come over my house at Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that was the worst.
Yeah, this crossover's good. I'm enjoying it. I still feel like it needs that enemy in the middle because it's feeling a little amorphous to me.
Sure. I feel like they need to like drop the other shoe and tell us what the deal is.
Yeah, like who the bad guy is.
It's like they set the chessboard and they were like, let's set another bunch of chess pieces on here and then put checkers on top of them.
It's, yeah, there's no threat to fight. I feel like they're just adding more and more X-Men and more and more X-Men, and it's interesting and it's fun, but at the end, the last pages will be like, well, that was a lot of X-Men.
Yeah. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Right, and the lights shut off, and that's the last X-Men.
Coming. I know. Oh, the man. Lights shut off.
Yeah.
You just want a strife in there.
I want a strife. I want a phalanx. I want a, what's his name from Inferno?
Inferno.
Nastafara.
Blasco?
Not Blasco.
Mr. Sinister?
No, there's the green.
Miz?
What? Yeah, there was a Nastafara or whatever.
Rastafarian?
Yeah, Rastafarian.
Nosferatu?
Nosferatu.
Spin off the Royals.
Yep, all of that stuff. Yeah.
You're making up some character.
And really, Strife, that was your go-to? Like, seriously, you said, I want a Strife. Well, that is your go-to. Not a Magneto.
I like that just one. Yeah. I like that just one Strife might not be enough.
The Rob Liefeld straight up, like, you went to Strife.
Well, the thing about Strife is he was introduced at the beginning of the crossover. It's like, I'm the villain. So see if you can catch up
with
me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is I want somebody who's like that focal point.
Right.
It doesn't have to be Strife. He's very sharp. We all know he's very sharp. But somebody like that who's pulling the strings in the background, somebody that everybody can focus on. So you can feel like things are building something. Right now, I feel like we're just adding more and more X-Men.
Yeah, they might get there.
Yeah, and I actually think we've already met the big villain. You just don't know it's the villain yet.
Oh, who do you think the big villain is?
I think it's going to be, the beast. The young...
Yeah, one-horned beast.
One-horned beast? Because he lost that horn, he got mad?
Yep.
Became evil?
No,
because he's ugly?
That's no, he lost his horn. That could drive you insane.
Wow. Yeah, Pete lost a horn. I think it's the young, the third Charles Xavier there.
Who do you think that is?
I don't know. It's funny how much they've set him up just to be like, he's obviously something's up with him, but he can't be, he's not like Legion's son.
You had a theory on that. Was that a knowledge theory or an actual theory?
No, I don't think I had it either.
Oh, okay.
A knowledge
theory. Now I'm not going to say anything.
Oh, okay. You probably shouldn't. Yeah.
Wait, well, you could tell us what the theory was.
No, I can't. I don't know if that's actually true or not.
Too. You have knowledge now, too?
I don't know now. Because you and I talk on the phone about
this. Yeah, really, like, that's the one part they don't tell you about writing comics. Is that
you
it
know
sort
too
of ruins
much.
Comics.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Like, it's no fun, yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Too much. So, like, sort of see where stuff's going. And
You hear stuff out, like, years in advance, and you're like, oh, that sounds amazing. I wish I read that. Yeah. Could you imagine being, like, 1997, and someone pulls you aside and is like, hey, guess what? The Thunderbolts? They're all villains. Like how horrible that would have been.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, spoilers. That would have been horrible because that's one of my favorite. That's probably the best and last real shocking ending.
But it's amazing how many fans are just like, tell me what the fuck happens. I don't want to wait and read it.
Oh, no patience.
Yeah,
no
I know.
Patience.
But then if you did tell them, it would be ruined.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing.
Yeah. Well, then that's how they could be like, well, I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew
that's
that was
what
the
happen. That's what it is.
Yeah, bleh.
Yeah, bleh. Tiny barf. I knew it. It just barfed up a little bit because I knew it so much.
Yeah. Speaking of tiny barfs, Justin, you want to talk about your pick, Lazarus number 4?
Sure. This is not a barf at all. This is a great book written by Greg Rucka and drawn by Michael Lark. Mm-hmm. Michael Lark, his art's amazing. It's a little. If you've ever read seen any of his stuff, it's he has a lot of the backgrounds are very full. This is a little more spare, and I think it just makes it everything pop so well. And then the story is all about a dystopian future, and the mythology is so rich. He talks about
so
how the world got there.
So the future X-Men show up, and then another future.
No,
X-Men.
No, no. Oh, the future no, is like... not necessarily full of more X-Men. No. There is an Iceman wizard in this book, though. That no one's talking about. He's in the background a lot, sort of saying, "Go forth, characters." But
is that what wizards say in your world?
In my world, yeah. Characters, or they say the names.
Go wherever you want.
The wizards are sort of pulling the strings.
Yeah.
When I get up in the morning, an old man in my neighborhood says, "Go forth, Justin."
Oh, nice.
And that's creepy. Him a wizard. I call
that's
him a wizard.
That's just a hobo, Justin.
Yeah. Huh? Well, it's nice to think of him as a wizard.
Why does he know your name?
He's magic. He smells magic.
He smells like magic.
Yeah.
Magic is very potent.
Yeah, and that's Lazarus.
So, great book.
No, this book is great. We didn't actually talk about the
nice
plot
save.
At
nice
all.
Save.
Thank you. Yeah. Pull that one back at the last second.
Yeah, this was funny, you guys. Every time I watch you guys on YouTube and watch you guys' quote-unquote reviews, you mention, like, the book and then tangent off, like, every single title. Well,
hey, man, we've read a lot of comics over the years, all right? You can only say great book so many times where you got to talk about something else in your life, right? Like the old man in my neighborhood. The old man likes this
real
book, all right, guys?
Real scintillating stuff.
Well, to give it a legitimate review.
Realistic, yes, you're right.
Stop challenging us.
But also, like, there's a review in there. Like, the rant is inspired by what we thought about the book.
Pete learned a lesson about his life from X-Men.
Yeah,
yeah, if you really took the time to listen to what we were saying, you'd know we already reviewed this
book. The lesson is take the time and listen to what we're saying. In this book, though, too, explain a little bit.
We just spent another 5 minutes not reviewing this.
I know. I'm just trying to get. I'm really, really making an effort to do it.
Yeah.
So what happens is the world is sort of run by these few families who are super wealthy, and everyone else is just worthless, basically.
Sounds like a great future.
Each family. That's why tangents happen, is because there's a lot of interruption on this show. Except when Alex is drinking his gin and tonic.
Hurry up. Hurry up.
Alex moved on to hard
point.
Liquor.
Yeah, we can either get cheap beer or we can get gin and tonic. So I got gin and tonic.
Great. You're
gonna
be blind drunk by the end of the night.
You shut up.
Each family, I know you're drunk because you start talking about, like, cum early on in the show.
Finish the review.
So each family has a superpowered member of the family that protects their interests, and this is all about the Lazarus for one family, and how everyone else is betraying her, and her family's all fucked up, and she's sort of in love with this other Lazarus, is what we're dealing with in this issue. And it's great. It's really cool.
Now I see why we don't actually review stuff. That was boring as fuck.
Oh, well, you should have listened.
Jesus. Wow. Great book. Was trying to. Yeah, this is a great book. The art is awesome. I very much enjoy it. I'm a little confused about what's going on, but I think that's kind of the point.
Corporate interest.
But a lot of great action.
As a writer, I'd like to chime in.
Sure.
At no point when writing are you like, oh, man, I'm going to confuse the fuck out of everybody. They're going to love this.
Oh, come on. Isn't that what you do at the beginning?
Nope. Nope.
Well, you don't tell everybody what's going on. You kind of let it.
Don't. Your goal is never outright confusion.
Right.
In fact, it's usually the opposite. Yeah.
When I've been writing stuff, I usually write a bunch of pages, and then I shuffle them. Yeah. And then I send them off to a publisher.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. That's fine, too.
That's been working out pretty well for me.
Yeah, that's why everyone thinks I'm a psychopath.
I don't have any books. Cool. Let's move on with my pick. This is something that actually came out, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, great. That seems very relevant on a weekly show. We do the show every week, so let's wait 3 weeks.
As I mentioned earlier in the show, finally got around to reading the graphic novels in my stack.
Okay,
very
great.
Very busy. I've had a lot of, like, you know, stuff.
Hey, your life's great.
The Unre-
Uh-oh. Pete started turning
the Unwritten, Tommy Taylor and the Ship That Sank Twice.
Yes.
It's a graphic novel based in the world of The Unwritten, which is one of my favorite series coming out right now from Vertigo Comics. It started off as kind of a Harry Potter amalgam of ideas. There's a kid in the book named Tommy Taylor who was raised by his father to essentially be Tommy Taylor, who's a Harry Potter stand-in, in the books that his father read.
Well, I mean,
that is quite elegant. That was quite
that was
elegant.
Terrible.
Really, I thought that was pretty
that
confusing.
Was awful. Yeah.
It's sort of a. What did you just hit me? Yo, you're wasted.
Yeah, he is.
Can we get one more gin and tonic for Alex? I think we're gonna really start to hear some shit. Look at him. He can't even focus up.
Yeah.
He's sweating. Alcohol is perspiring out of his head and turning into
air. What were you going to say, Justin?
So the book, it's sort of a response to Harry Potter and talking about the power of stories and how if someone understands the power of stories in the real world, they could write a story. And what this book explains...
Oh, that's much better.
Well, I'm trying to turn it back over to you since this is your pick. What this book explains is how Tommy Taylor's dad combined the power of Tommy Taylor, the character, with the birth of his son and, like, made magic real in the world.
Yeah, the thing that's particularly good and very
eloquent!
Good and very cool about this book is we've been told about these Tommy Taylor books throughout the span of the series. This is the first time we're actually getting to see one, and it's really good.
Yeah.
And very exciting, and it's paralleled with the stuff that's happening as Tommy Taylor's father is raising him. It's really well written. It's really well drawn. I don't know where Mike Carey finds all the time to do this.
It's pretty impressive. This is like a full... It reads like a Harry Potter novel, and in graphic novel form. It's like a whole story from that, while also interspersed a bunch of great backstory about the unwritten series and sort of an origin story of how Tommy Taylor came about. It's just a great book, and I love this series, and this is very
good. Can't wait. Next week, guys, I'm going to talk about Civil War, okay?
Is that okay, topical? The American Civil War?
Yeah, all right.
Oh, great.
And that's it for the stack.
Yeah!
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to go over to Booth Man.
Booth Man.
Wearing those short shorts.
They're not short shorts.
They're jean shorts.
Let's go.
Whoa. Listen, why don't you drink a little bit more and talk about cum a lot?
We've already covered that.
First question, what the fuck is Alex's problem? Second question, what DC characters would you like to see get their new 52 first appearance as an ongoing title?
Ooh. Right. He's just clarifying. So in the context of Forever Evil is the clarification from an audience member.
Right. New 52 character who doesn't currently have a book?
Who we haven't seen yet, you're saying. Yeah. Well, we just met Bizarro for the first time.
Yeah. Right.
That was sort of less fun than normal Bizarro, I thought.
Yeah.
He's such a sad dude.
He's a burnt out, scarred over clone who can't talk.
Yeah.
So,
so give him his own book.
Sounds like it's filled with wonder and joy.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's the spirit.
Yeah. I don't know. What about you guys? What would you want to see... What character would you want to
see?
That's
what we call passing the buck on this show.
Yep.
It's so hard. I mean, let me be sort of honest about it. I haven't.
I don't know. Are you hiring? Because we've got some cocktails.
Is this a pitch? Because I have some ideas.
Yeah. Oh, this is goes right to Dan DiDio's office.
Actually, it was funny. I was thinking about this the other day about the one book I hope they never knew 52. I was thinking this afternoon. The one book
Sugar and Spike.
That actually be probably okay.
Yeah.
No, like I think it'd be fun if they. No, a fun answer would be like Prez. I think Prez would be fun to do, but the book I hope they will never do that they will probably end up doing eventually, and it's like a ticking clock, is Starman. Like the Jack Knight Starman thing is a ticking clock.
Technically,
if anybody says it's sacrilege, come on.
I agree with you, and that's. I was just talking about this on another podcast. That
another podcast.
I'm amazed.
You are cheating.
As I was saying that, I was regretting it.
Go to your other podcast.
We're getting Jedi divorced.
cool off.
I think the fact that you didn't work in a plug while talking
it's
about
it's not
it
even
is
my
even
podcast.
Worse.
I was just talking about comics.
Well, it is.
What
now,
a fucking.
Hey, I'm a real podcast whore.
Yeah, you are.
So what I was saying was that it's amazing that they haven't taken that at all. Just untouched.
Yeah,
he was allowed to finish the series. That's my favorite book of all
time. Yeah, it's
one
of the best endings. I feel like that creature have those endings of like actual like they nailed it.
Yeah.
You know? And the fact that they haven't like turned that around at all is kind of crazy.
Yeah. And I don't think they'll do it.
Sir.
Not that I trust them.
I mean, look, it's not like a book like Watchmen, which clearly needed to be expounded upon. I mean,
well,
when I was
a
reading
more
Watchmen,
sacred than Watchmen.
Yeah. I mean, clearly.
No, we're gonna get David. We'll get like
weren't
David
they,
as Starman.
Yeah,
weren't they not
that.
Doing Starman which is because of a handshake agreement with James Robinson?
And do you
what
know
kind
how,
of agreement? I'm sorry, I want to hear this.
It was a hand job agreement.
A handshake agreement with James Robinson. I believe that was the reason they didn't do it, and now he has left the company. In somewhat of a huff and has gone over to Marvel, so I don't
sir.
Know.
Sir.
Yes.
Yeah. Sir.
So perhaps.
Have soon. They introduced the Shade to the new 52 yet?
Yeah, there was the Shade.
Well, it wasn't in, that was out
that
of
was out,
that was
out,
out
of
continuity. I tried to do a crossover with I'm going to tell out of school stories.
School's
do
over.
This.
What was the he had the vampire girl.
I vampire? Oh no.
In oh God! What's her name? Sorry, it's out of my head.
That's gonna drive me crazy.
But I tried to do because it's revealed in the Shade miniseries. It's revealed
yes,
that
yes.
the Shade's a vampire.
Yeah.
And so I actually had like a long one of the storylines that got killed. One of the many storylines that got killed was actually going to be a crossover story with Andrew Bennett
and him.
And I was told that it was out of continuity. And I was like, "Oh, but you're publishing it, so that's continuity." No.
Yeah.
Nope.
Anita Blake.
Interesting. No. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Let me just be honest. We don't know enough about what's going on in DC right now to really answer that question, I think.
Who would make us happy to see?
Did you give him the ghosted?
No.
Where are they?
Oh,
hold on.
I see.
I'll grab
right.
it. I mean,
well, New York Comic Con's this weekend. I bet we're going to see a lot of announcements.
Yeah, in relation to that, because
probably
they got to do something.
Yep. Let's get the next question, please.
They got to do something. DC's new tagline. what ultimate character would you like to see crossover to the 616 Marvel Universe?
Perhaps that's for you, sir, but and then all of us after that.
Well, I mean, I'm going to get to see so many of them soon. I don't want to spoil any of it.
Oh, wow. So many right. teases. Oh. So many subtle
Geldof?
Teases.
Geldof.
Cool.
I actually did an interview. Like, one of the first interviews I did about the Ultimates, I made an ultimate Geldof joke. For those who don't know, Geldof was the first sort of original character introduced in the Ultimate Universe. Did not go over very well. And so I made a joke when I said, like, yeah, we're bringing back some old favorites. We're going to do some really cool stuff with characters you haven't seen in a while. And then I went, hint. And it says it, like, in brackets. And then there's a wink afterwards. But it goes, hint, Ultimate Geldof. And then for weeks, I would get people tweeting me like, I can't believe you're bringing him back. What's wrong with you? And I'm like, that was really? Okay.
Did you think about bringing him back just to spite
yes,
them?
Yes, just to spite them. Yeah. That's actually that we work on a spite.
So
spite
much
in
of
business.
The industry is
yeah,
spite.
It really is.
spite and confusion.
Yeah.
Mm. There you go. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
The flyers, yeah.
Who do the bats like better, Dracula or Batman?
You mean the animal, the bat?
Oh, like if Dracula stood on one side and Batman on the other, and they're like, come here, bats. Come here. Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you.
All the bats.
Yeah, where would they go to?
I mean, you'd think Dracula.
You Batman would think Dracula because he turns into a bat, so he would be like more homies with him, I think.
And I feel like Batman, like he doesn't have a great relationship with bats.
Yeah, he has they're a always, complicated relationship.
They're right. always flying like around him and like through him, but they're not like hanging, you know?
Yeah, right. You think about it, you look at Batman Returns, right? Like, there's that scene where he always has, like, a bunch of bats hanging out. Like, he puts them in a box, they blow up, that'd be horrible. He yeah. probably keeps them all in little cages all the time.
Yeah.
You think he cages those bats and feeds them and cleans up the guano?
That's Alfred's
occasionally,
job. Come on, man.
Occasionally
that's
gets poisoned.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. Exactly.
Probably. Cool, I think we answered that question. Raise your hand if you asked it. You're going to get some free comics.
Dracula.
Here,
Pete,
let's get the next question.
Howled at the end.
If you could go back in time, like the X-Men, and tell past you something... What would it be?
Oh, man, I know the answer to that.
Yeah?
Wait, if I can go in the past and tell myself something?
Correct.
Yeah.
Don't write voodoo.
Oh. Nice. That's a good
Let's
one.
Let's just be honest.
All right. What about you guys?
Tell past self? I don't know. Be nicer to Pete.
Oh, really? I was going to
say. But time travel doesn't exist. Crack.
I was going to say, when Zalbin approaches me about doing a show, I would have an immediate rider that says, I don't work with this Justin Tyler guy.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess we have a weird relationship. Alex, what would you tell your past self? Don't order a gin and tonic before the show?
I'd probably be like, no Santa Claus, and then die. And I'd be like, all right. Gotta
and then
kill
die?
All the- yeah. Don't you die the second you get out of time travel or something like that?
You get out of time travel?
We'll talk. I don't know.
I was in time travel for about 5 years, and then I was, you know, I was kind of moonlighting and other stuff, and I realized, like, you know, this is not for me.
Yeah, when you get out, you die.
Yeah, you get out. You get out,
you got to get out. You got to get out before you die.
See, that's called supporting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yes, and, bro.
Yep, cool.
And I should add, for those who don't know, I have a digital comic about exactly that question called The Bunker, and you're all going to get a free copy of the first issue today.
Fuck yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks for the plug.
No problem.
Real, we set it up.
Yep, there you go. Let's get the last question. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Why can't DC / Warner Brothers get their act together and make good movies?
Well,
why can't DC and Warner Brothers get their act together and make great movies?
Well, funny...
Well, Batman was pretty good.
Yeah.
Those three.
That was legendary, though. It's legendary.
Yeah.
Yep.
Touché, sir.
There's a difference.
Touché.
DC... It was with, like, Warner Brothers, the corporate entity. I'm the last person in the world to defend DC Comics to anybody, but...
The animated movies are good.
Like, technically, Warner Brothers as an entity produced that movie. Jeff Robinov, the president of the studio, worked on all those movies, you know.
Yeah. Well, really, the question is why isn't there a good Green Lantern and why isn't there a Wonder Woman? That's what people want to know.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
They just greenlit a Constantine series for television.
Yeah. Except that's not DC.
That I mean they.
No, it's
they
not.
I
was reading something. I'm sorry. I'm barely remembering the rights issues here.
Yeah.
But apparently, there's something with the production company. The production company that made the Constantine movie owns the rights to Constantine. DC doesn't.
Ooh. That's the movie Constantine.
It's more.
I don't.
It's
think
more
so.
Complicated. It's more it's complicated. Than that? My buddy's actually one of the is the showrunner.
Oh, cool.
Of that, or his work. He's wrote the pilot. It's going to be cool. Like that's.
It's not based on the
good.
Movie.
No, it's a payment scheme. So they option when you option something.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
We're, again, this is. I know everybody is thrilled by the particulars of the Hollywood industry.
I love this shit.
When you option something, you can either option just one set of rights, or you can option all of the rights. So these guys optioned all of the rights. So before the rights lapse, they're developing. They push the TV show through so that they don't have to re-option the rights and therefore repay everybody. Because it's all bundled in with their first option. Thrilling.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
There you go.
Educational.
And that's like that's my from what I've read and understand from the business.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves.
Cool. Who asked that question? Raise your hand. Sir, you are going to get a very special prize. Piece of paper. This week we're giving away a special prize. It's one ticket to go to the Walking Dead Escape this Saturday, October 12th at the Intrepid Sea and Space Museum. You can choose to either be a walker, and they do professional zombie makeup on you. You could chase people around and actually eat them. Or you can be run through the course. Either way, you get to run on a boat. It's very cool.
Which is terrifying.
Either way, you get to ride on a boat?
You get to run on a boat.
Yeah, it's on the Intrepid.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
They were gonna
nice get.
Wow,
yeah, it's later. They're putting like barricades up, and zombies have invaded the Intrepid. It should be pretty neat. Nice. Cool.
Be zombie versus shark, as in Lucio Fulci's classic film Zombie?
Now, does that mean...
Either way.
Did you really... He can actually get to eat people?
Well,
it's
his choice. Remember, it's his choice.
Anybody.
Can you guys think about your favorite question that was asked? And I'll explain why in a second. But confer, decide your favorite question.
Because
we have another prize. Yep. This whole section is actually sponsored by Tours for Fun, which does superhero tours of New York City. We're going to give away two passes to Tours for Fun. You'll get to see sites where Spider-Man was filmed, Fantastic Four, maybe Doctor Strange's Sanctum Sanctorum.
Knows?
Whatever it is, you'll get two passes to that courtesy of Tours for Fun. What was your favorite question, guys?
Entirely self-servingly, I'm going to go with the what would you tell your younger self.
Yeah.
Brought to you by whatisthebunker.com.
Nice. That is
that was pretty good. I liked it.
Completely relevant
all right,
to Josh's book,
the show.
The Bunker.
That's it for your audience questions. Woo-hoo! All right. You're going
to
get...
Well, he wants to sell his book.
It's free.
Oh, yeah, we're giving away copies of Ghosted number one and copies of The Bunker number one. There's a digital copy.
Everyone's going to get those.
You get one.
Hey, while we're doing prizes, why don't we move it over to trivia with Pete LePage?
All right.
Yeah, prize heavy.
Cool. So this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience.
I feel like we've been giving back to them for a while.
Thank you so much for showing up, guys. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because let's face it, we'd spend our money on comics. Who would like $25? Simple raising of the hand. Ooh, this is tough. I mean, their hands went up at the first. So, okay, cool. Come on up, guy. Come on up.
Very responsible.
Thank you very much. Yeah. It was very nice of you.
Here you are, sir.
What is your name, sir? Join me right here.
My name is Marquise.
Marquise, audience Marquise.
Yeah.
Marquise, so how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right, and you win $25. All right. So the trivia is this week in comics, so it's all about comics that came out this week. So as long as you read every comic, you're set. Here we go. Question number one. In Forever Evil number two, who does Lex Luthor use to help him save the world? Is it A, Bizarro, B, Cheetah, or is it C, Shirtless Dudes on the CW? So it's either A, Bizarro, which is the correct answer, or it's B, Cheetah.
A, Bizarro
is correct. All right. Here we go. Question number two. In Elephant Man number 51, which is a great jumping on point, if you've been thinking about checking it out, it's a good time to jump on. Blank is the private detective who never gave a second thought to Elephant Man until now. Is it A, Johnson, B, Pharrell, or is it C, Arrow? So it's either A, Johnson, or it's B, Pharrell.
Is it B, Pharrell?
B, correct.
Yes.
Awesome. All right, here we go. Last question. In Captain America, Living Legends number one, we see Cap's shield slice open a blank. Is it A, a tank, B, a Nazi, or is it C, Oliver Queen? So it's either A, a tank, which would be really cool, and that's what actually happened, or it's B, a Nazi.
Would it be A, a tank?
A tank is correct.
Yes. Awesome.
Thank you very much. Congratulations. Today's trivia is sponsored by Arrow, which is coming out next week. People are excited about
it. Wow, Pete's Arrow
People
Corner.
Are excited.
Pete's Arrow Corner
Arrow,
taking over.
Get more excited about it, okay, guys?
That was sponsored by Pete's love of Arrow.
Yeah, there you go. As we all know, tomorrow is a new comic book day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Walking Dead number 115.
Oh, great. It's your first issue, jumping on point?
No. There's a lot of crap going down lately.
So much crap.
It's kind of a battle of...
the sexes?
Yeah, no. battle of camps, so we're going to see who's going to win here.
It's all-out war is what it is.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm looking forward to Manhattan Projects, number 15.
Yeah. Great we're bringing
book.
That back.
Yeah, great book by Jonathan Hickman. Really cool. It's very dense. A lot of Hickman's work. It's very dense, but it's been really moving lately. A lot's happening. The characters are crazy and fun, and the art is very unique and interesting.
I'm looking forward to Shaolin Cowboy number one is coming out tomorrow from Image. This is a return of Jeff Darrow's book. If you never read any of Jeff Darrow's stuff, it's crazy and it looks amazing.
You mean Shaolin?
So Shaolin. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Pete.
I like the way you pronounce things.
Yeah. Shaolin Cowboy.
Yeah, it's like there's a little quinine in the way you're saying it.
There you go. All right. Josh?
I'm going with Matt Kent's amazing Mind Management.
Yeah,
nice. Volume 2 hardcover coming out from Dark Horse.
We've
tomorrow.
Talked about that a couple times. It's
great. If you guys aren't reading it, it is the smartest, most sophisticated book month to month. Like, he does stuff that literally every time I see him, all I do is ask him questions about how he does that. And it's embarrassing for everyone.
Cool. And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
This week is iVampire Volume 3, which concludes my run on iVampire.
Right. Cool.
Aww. It's been over for a while. There's really no sign.
Josh, too?
I'm going to say Chew number 37.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I love me some Chew. It's a good book.
Cool. Chew's and great. Plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Oh, Ghost of number 4 comes out tomorrow. So I hope that you guys read number 1 and then go buy 2, 3, and then 4
good.
Comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, way to say that.
Cool. All right, couple of things before we go. If you are here in the audience, please hang around. We're going to be watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and commenting on it in a few short minutes. If you're listening at home, please check out our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. commentary track, which will be posted in the podcast feed. You can sync it up with your TV watching.
You got to sync it up,
and
guys.
Don't forget our second screen app, which we don't have.
Which is an annoying thing. Right?
Yeah. Pete,
does
what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out, comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tamer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Ryan. Riley Trahan. We want to thank Josh for being here.
Yeah.
Josh.
Booth man.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in New York, totally free. Please tell your friends, good night.
Thanks,
good night,
everybody.
We'll see you at New York Comic Con.
And we'll Santa Claus you when you're there.
No.
What?
Comic-Con.